Well, first of all, we just want to thank all of you for praying for us. We had an amazing trip, and I think you're going to be thrilled to hear the testimonies tonight as we talk about how God worked. We went to the remote village of Panama in a jungle far away from what we might call civilization, and God used the power of medicine to draw people in so that they could get their bodies healed, and then figure out how they could get their heart healed, and figure out how they could know why they exist. Being out where they live, in some ways I'm envious, because they don't have all the distractions that we have. No internet, very minimal phone service. They don't rush home at night to watch the latest television show. No satellite, no newspaper. The list just goes on and on. We're sitting there going, wow, how boring. But these people were content beyond how I can even comprehend. And they had nothing. And boy, that is convicting. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go through and have each person give a brief testimony. Pastor has threatened our lives, so we have 1 minute each. Which is not going to be easy because there's just too much to tell, but we're going to do our best, and then Brian will finish, and then I'll share a brief word after that. So Sandy Van Blymen, if you would go ahead and come up to the mic. Sandy worked in Central Supply as well as crowd control, assisting with folks as they were coming in to the pharmacy.
Well, my job was Central Supply, but I didn't end up there. I was doing crowd control. But I felt it was a real privilege for me to be able to go being non-medical. And never in my life did I think that I would be able to go to what I would call the uttermost part of the earth, to people who had never heard the gospel. I worked out in front of Jerry Savinsky's room, so when the doctors were done with the patients, they brought me a paper, and they would be on their way to the pharmacy, and then I would divert them into Jerry Savinsky's room, and then he would preach to them. He preached in this little room. There was about 20 people, and there was windows with no glass, so I could hear his sermon. So I heard Jerry Savinsky preach about 30 times, so that was a blessing. And about 30 times I was able to watch as he asked if people would like to invite Jesus in their heart, and they would stand. So that was a big blessing that I got to have. Two personal times that I had with the Lord where he ministered to me was one time at night. I was lying in this mosquito tent that is all protected and has a dome, and this bug was trying to get in. I was just watching him thinking, you can't get in. And the Lord just brought to my mind that he had protected this team in this very way. He put a hedge around us and prepared our way with the elements that we expected to have to deal with and didn't, and so forth. The other way in which the Lord ministered to me was a verse I was reading one night that was Matthew 6:25, and it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Let me tell you, everybody was hot and sweaty, covered with sunscreen, bug spray, more sweat. Our shower, if we had water, was a hose and a board over the mud. Our food, even though the Panamanians prepared us some special things, was basically MREs and rice. If you wanted cereal in the morning, you had warm milk. It was our raiment was rather used and sweaty and dirty, but nobody cared. Nobody complained. It didn't matter. So this verse to me that night really came to light about these things not mattering because you're focusing on what you're doing there. And so that verse meant a lot to me, and I hope I can carry that on here, that what's really important is not the conditions on which I'm working, but the work I'm doing.
Thank you, Sandy. My wife, Karen Lefew, who's a nurse who worked in triage doing the vitals as the folks from the village came in.
In triage, we do vital signs, and if we happen to have a translator, we can get a brief health history to further expedite things with the physicians, and sometimes that can be challenging. For the past 6 months, I've been studying the Gospels and the life of Christ in my own personal preparation for this trip, and in my lessons that in studying, Christ taught the multitudes, and through medicine we were able to bring in the multitudes so that they could be taught the way of salvation. Christ had compassion on the multitudes, and I was praying for that same kind of compassion, that they would see the love of Christ in me and want in their life what I have, which is Jesus Christ. Christ was the ultimate servant. I prayed that whatever job that I was given, how menial, how difficult, that I too would be flexible and obedient and have the right spirit to do that. And let me tell you, there were some hot, hard, heavy jobs, and every one of our team members fulfilled that. It was just wonderful, the spirit that was there amongst everyone. There was no complaining. There were lots of smiles, and we did fulfill that. And then Christ is deity. He is the way of salvation, and he has the power to save man from the separation of God. And through the channel of medicine and the power of the Holy Spirit, we were able to see over 400 people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It just doesn't get any better than that. And through a unified spirit of our team, we were able to show the love of Christ to over 700 people. And that's just patients. There were a lot more than that who came in with their family, and that's really exciting. The two takeaways for me, the two lessons, were the power of praying people. We all have our own stories and our own situations where God answered specific prayers, and we do thank you so much. We know that you are praying. It was just incredible time and time again how God just answered those prayers and kept us safe, kept the rain away. It would rain during the night and it was dry during the day. And two, we went into the jungle to change people's lives physically for a moment. We know that these physical changes won't last very long, but we could make a difference for that day. But we came out of the jungle having changed their lives for all eternity by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Laura Gaines, who's also a nurse and worked in triage as well.
Well, my testimony has to start at the beginning, which was, I think, about a year ago, when on a Wednesday night, Dr. Barber shared his desire to start a medical missions ministry out of our church. And immediately on that Wednesday night when I heard that, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me, this is something that you can do, and this is a way you can serve me. Well, the original trip was to Uganda, and we were going to be in the mountains where it's not extremely hot and humid. We were going to have a chef to cook us real food, and we were going to stay in a motel at night. Great, I can do this. But then the plans changed. And we were going to go to the jungles of Panama, and my thinking is very hot and humid. Jungle creatures, including venomous snakes. Maybe not much food, limited facilities. Unfavorable conditions. Now, people laugh, but just because my hair is stiff doesn't mean I'm a priss. But I am a chicken. So then I think, oh, maybe the Lord doesn't really want me to go. Well, the circumstances of the jungle adventure, I call it my jungle adventure, were a big, big deal to me. And don't you know that in my heart, all the verses that I know from the promises of God, from enabling and courage and I will be with you and I'll protect you, etc., they all ran. They just all ran in there, and I knew them all, but was I willing to take them and apply them? And say, okay, I'll go no matter what. And after wrestling with the Lord for quite a time. It came down to this question: am I only willing to serve the Lord when it's easy? Do I want to teach my children that you only serve the Lord when it's easy? Or do I want them to be willing to serve the Lord when it's difficult? And so the answer to that was very obvious. So when I said I would go, from that time on, my greatest prayer was just that, because, you know, the fear, the uncertainties just flooded all the time. And I wasn't like, yeah, let's go, I'm going. I wasn't excited like everybody else, you know. But but my greatest prayer in all of that was that I would not, the Lord would just take away that focus that I had on the uncertain things, and that He would help me to focus on our purpose in going and what the Lord was going to do through us while we were there. And although I don't think I ever completely allowed the Lord to take over those fears and they didn't all go away, I praise the Lord that He was faithful to me and He was very gracious in spite of myself. By His loving kindness to me and in answer to many, many prayers, our boats did not dump us into the water. The parasite-infested water, by the way. It wasn't as hot as I anticipated. It rained only at night. We had a roof over our heads instead of just a tarp or something. I imagined being out laying in the grass. It was just a tarp, you know. That was my imagination. We had more to eat than just rice and beans. And we even had some bathroom facilities, primitive as they were. And I didn't come home with any bites, no bites of any kind, no insects, no snakes, no nothing, whatever. But when I got home, I had two mosquito bites, got two mosquitoes. Anyway, in all of these things, I praised the Lord. I gave Him thanks. He did great things for the cause of Christ while we were there in the village. And if I hadn't been a part of the team, I realized that God would have accomplished His purpose there anyway. But what a blessing I would have missed. And I just wouldn't have that in my life. So the Bible says, marvelous are thy works, O Lord, and that my soul knoweth right well. And I just thank the Lord that before I was willing to do the hard thing, He was willing to call me to go and give me the opportunity to be a part of these precious Panamanian souls coming to Christ.
Dr. Dan Clake, who was on the medical team.
I really want to thank you guys for praying. There are so many specific things that happened, protection and just the logistics that worked out, and a variety of things we could tell. So many people were praying. As you mentioned, I went as a medical provider, and basically we're the bait for fishing for souls of men. They want to come in and see a doctor. Some of them had never seen a physician at all, and they come, and you know, there'd be something marked down the sheet. They had a cold or something. You find, well, that was 6 months ago or whatever. They just wanted to come and see what was going on in the village, basically. But because of that, they were able to see the gospel, hear the gospel. Many, many people were saved. And really very thankful for that. And I think the thing that was impressed upon me was that, you know, got on the boats and went home and came back to our air-conditioned comfort, but really the work is just now starting. We were just the catalyst for this, and I'm really praying, I hope that you pray with me. Don't forget about this. You know, now that we've come back, we've done our done this mission trip, and we don't want to let this just be forgotten. But I pray that now, as the pastors go out, as mentioned before, there were 16 different communities or villages. Some villages, the entire village came out to see us, and there were 16 different areas that were represented there. And I was talking to Jan Milton. He said, you know, that would take, even for a local pastor who knows the customs, knows the language, is familiar with the area, and is, you know, used to the circumstances there, that would take him probably 4 or 5 years to set up that many contacts to get in and spread the gospel there. So I hope you just continue to pray with us that really the influence there would blossom and great things would happen from here.
Charmaine Barfield, who was one of our translators and worked with the medical team.
I want to start out with just a small story about one of the ladies that came to visit us. She had traveled far away. Her name was Margarita. She was an elderly lady. And I was showing her to where she needed to be sit, she just kept grabbing my face, and nobody else could understand what she was saying, but she just kept telling me, God bless you. God bless you for coming here. And she just kept saying over and over, thank you. Thank you for coming. And I guess I'm going to be very short. The one thing that was just very profound for me was that every step of the way, no matter what trials we go through, God will bless you as long as you follow His word and His path. I saw every day, not having grown up in a Christian home, and I just saw every day the power of the Lord as He prepared them to receive His word. And it was just a blessing to me that we were able to help them physically, but really we were trying to open their hearts to help them spiritually. Being a translator, you get pulled in many, many different directions. And at one point, I was asked to go and help in the pharmacy to dispense and explain medications. And as you know, we were asked them when they get there is, okay, do you have a coin to give us? And really that meant that they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I could just tell as they were handing me the coin, just really the joy that they had, that they were, it was a new world to them that had just opened up to them. So it's just, it was a true blessing for me that I could be part of just such a wonderful team. I got to know everybody so well, and it was a blessing for me to see them in just such a different light and really to see just and witness the incredible beginning that they were going to begin themselves, their journey towards Christ. So I wanted to just end with Isaiah 55:11, and it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please." And I truly saw the truth of that verse this week.
Chris Barfield, who was also one of our translators, specifically translating for Brother Jerry Savinsky as he preached.
In Job 42:5, Job is speaking to God and says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." And I was assigned the privilege, and it really was a privilege, to translate for Brother Savinsky throughout the course of the clinic. And over the several days, he preached 27 times and gave an invitation each time. And as a result of those invitations, I personally was able to stand in a small room in the sweltering jungle heat and see with my own eyes 400 people accept Christ, you know. And "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." And my experience can be summed up in just four words, that I saw God work.
Joe Whitecabbage, who helped take the photos of our event and also made sure that we drank our water and took our meds and kept us entertained.
Well, I was kind of dreading the fact that I was going to be the safety officer would have to bug everybody to make sure they drank their water, kept their rubber gloves on, kept their masks on and all that. And I'll have to say that everybody were obedient to the Lord. I mean, they kept their masks on. They did everything. Everybody was keeping score on each other on drinking their water. And it was just a blessing to see all that take place. Then the other job I had was, I think, the best job. Because, not the most important, I think the doctors, nurses, the crowd control, everybody else had an important job, but my one was the best job because I got to see every operation going on. I was able to take pictures, and we have an historic record of what took place. And I can tell you that the power of the prayer of all the people was so evident, how the Lord kept the rain. We prayed in our little group that, "Lord, we know it's going to have to rain here, but could you have it come at night when we're sleeping?" And he followed that to a T. It poured down cats and dogs, knocked the canopy off the front of the building, and we still had a beautiful. We had three wonderful days of no rain, a little sprinkling here and there from time to time. So the biggest thrill I had, I think, was watching all these people, different ones I know, and see at church each Sunday, work together as a team. And they had never worked together before, but it was such a blessing to see how everything went so smoothly and how everything was accomplished and the people were moved along. And the other blessing I had was that to see the fields were white with harvest, for harvest, with all these people coming in. It was a never-ending crowd. The line never changed. Every time you looked out, there were a crowd of people there, and it never diminished in size, even though they were moving on. And of course, I did have a blessing too of watching Pastor working with the kids. That was really fun to watch. He had all kind of little hand tricks, and the kids were really a blessing. You know, to learn a language, when you're trying to learn a language, the kids are your best critic, because they're taught how to pronounce a word correctly. And when you pronounce it wrong, the adults will forgive you, but the kids, they will correct you and have you do it right. So it was a lot of fun doing that. But the one thing I did find out, that Philippians 4:13 really applies in our lives. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And he strengthened everybody, and we had a wonderful blessing time. This is my second mission trip, and I encourage anybody who's never been on one that you would consider that. To me, it was like a vacation, because it was so different from what I do. Amen.
Leah Elms, who originally went for registration but quickly went through nursing school and learned to take vitals and worked in triage.
It was an honor to go, and I want to start by just saying thank you for praying and supporting us back here. They were felt, and God went before us and did a really mighty, mighty work. It says in Deuteronomy 32:10 through 12, he found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. When I was young, God found me in the desert of my sin and saved me, and he's been leading me ever since. His instructions have come through my personal study of his word, but also the faithful preaching and teaching of very godly men and women in my life. He's kept me, he's blessed me as the apple of his eye, but this last week, he pushed me from my little comfort nest in a way that I've never had done before. Nothing in my own strength could have prepared me to fly or even fluttered at that point. But the promises of his word not only held me up, brought me to places I really never imagined to go. I experienced the reality of his promises in a way I never had. His grace truly is sufficient, even without a shower or a flushing toilet. He will never leave me or forsake me, even when Google Maps can't even find where we are. I can rejoice in the Lord always, even if I have to get on another gross bus ride. I can do all things through Christ, even with 100% humidity, and love does cover a multitude of sins and smells. As God pushed me this last week out of my nest, I saw the amazing gift of the wings of faith. I experienced the tangible presence of an almighty Father who has plans that are far above anything that I could have imagined. It was humbling to be a part of his overwhelming demonstration of his power and reality in my life and in the lives of all of those that I was serving alongside. And my prayer is that each of you would experience those realities of his promises and of his word, of his presence in your lives. Maybe not in Panama, but even in your everyday lives. And if you feel that fluttering, if he starts pulling at that nest, don't get scared, because he probably has something really amazing planned for you.
Elizabeth Taylor, who is a PRN, and she was a part of the medical team.
And I had to follow Leah. I said, if you start crying, I'm going to smack you. Because Pastor said that crying didn't count in our one-minute time. As I was reflecting about our trip on the plane ride home yesterday, these phrases from Colossians 1 struck a chord in my heart more uniquely than ever before. We do not cease to pray for you, because I knew all of you guys were praying back home. At least many of you had told me you were. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And we saw God's power this week, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I spent so much time joyfully laughing this week, I've lost my voice almost. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And each of these precious words that were penned by Paul some 2,000 years ago were vividly demonstrated throughout our week in Panama. We saw the hand of God in a powerful and very visible way this week in a way that I cannot begin to express with words. I truly felt the prayers of so many of you this week who were daily and faithfully praying for us. God answered your petitions to his throne through many miracles this week, with the greatest miracle being the salvation of 400 Panamanian souls. I'm so thankful for the wonderful opportunity that I had this week to experience God's goodness in Guayabalito with my dear team member friends here from Colonial, many newfound friends that we made in Panama. I wish I could have taken along every single one of you to see God's majestic hand at work this last week. This morning I had tears streaming down my face at Dr. Suter's selection of the song Calvary's Blood. Jesus' blood does flow from Calvary, breaking Satan's power, setting captives free. We saw it firsthand this week. And for the record, Pastor Phelps makes the best peanut butter and jelly sandwiches I've ever put in my mouth.
Amen. And he also gave me extra jelly. Sarah Devine was one of our nurses who worked with the medical team.
I was one of the evil ones who had to give the shots. But a little silly bands and suckers work very well for the kids. But I just want to bring up John 16:23 says, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And Luke 11:9 also says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. I just want to bring up, I believe that impacted me the most this week was just the power of prayer also. As every one of us could echo. Throughout our trip, we could see God's hand leading us. He provided good weather. It just rained at night. For the days of the clinic, people came, like 400 people came to know Christ as their Savior just through we were fresh OHR members just going down there and trying to reach these people. He also, none of us fell inside the bathroom down the outhouse. And we also had this very steep hill getting up and down to clinic. And I was just amazed at how we were all safely able to go up and down. And it rained even the night before when we left, so it was extremely muddy. And we all, no breaks or bones through that. And none of us fell in the river, praise God. The list just goes on of just seeing the hand of God work through every one of us and the people there. And I also wanted to bring up now just seeing the missionaries there. It was just nice to meet. We met many missionary couples there. And just to be in their environment, see what they do. They come here to us in our environment and they talk, but just being there and seeing them in action was just a joy, and just being able to talk to them and just seeing their heart for the ministry they have for the Panamanians. And I truly believe now that I know what the missionaries feel when they come home and say, I truly feel your prayers.
Barbara Burks, who was also on crowd control team, she stood outside in the sun and greeted the folks as they came up to registration.
I worked in the registration area, and I greeted everyone as they arrived at the clinic, and I pointed where to stand in line and where to go next after they were registered. And some of you know, because I was so proud of this, that my role originally was medical support, and I had been preparing to be a helper to nurses for the last year. But as some of the teenagers shared, I learned to be flexible. And my role was changed to crowd control in the full sun, in the jungle, in the rainy season. And I was so disappointed. But I prayed, and my prayer partner prayed with me. And the next morning, I woke up ready to show the jungle what crowd control was. And I want to tell you, I think I had the best job there. Not the most important, of course, but for me, it was great because it's not that I greeted everyone, but they greeted me. 750 people said Buenos Dias, even the little children. And I thought that was really special. I'd like to tell you that the heat and the humidity didn't bother me at all, but I lasted 1.5 hours the first day before I started having symptoms of heat exhaustion, which I knew what those symptoms were. It felt like it was about 110 degrees and I think at least 200% humidity. I spoke up and asked for help, and a strong young man took my place so I could take a break, and that was Brother Gwen. I got out of the sun, ate a little trail mix, and popped some Tylenol, which I got out of the pharmacy, and in about 10 minutes, I felt better, and I was back at my post, and I didn't have trouble the rest of the week. And so this was my first ever mission trip, and the very best way to celebrate my 50th birthday.
Sue Smith, who is also a PRN and worked with the medical team.
Well, this was a wonderful trip. It was difficult. Some of the best memories for me were the camaraderie amongst the team. I have never laughed as much in the last few years as I have laughed in 1 week, which we just laughed at being gross and bugs and the bathroom. And it was wonderful. That was so much fun for me to make light of it. I enjoyed our jungle beauty parlor, where some of the girls attempted to help the rest of us have some semblance of femininity in this dire situation, and I thank them. I enjoyed our conversations at night after the lights were out. Do you think there's such a thing as a tent burrowing cockroach? So, and then one of my favorite memories, I'm a little leery to say this, was one of my esteemed colleagues using green hand sanitizer gel accidentally in his hair, but we won't say any more about that. God answered one very specific prayer request for me. The hill going up from the river to where we stayed was very steep, and it was wet and muddy, and you had to go over little logs, and if you stepped off the log, I saw one person go up to their knee in mud, and I have been exercising. I would never claim to be the most athletic person, and I had this heavy backpack on my back, and it threw my balance, and off to climb up that hill and slither up those logs, and getting to the top of that hill was a miracle, and I knew as soon as I got to the top, I'm going to have trouble going down. And I'm going to have a suitcase potentially and a backpack. So I started praying, and I expressed to my prayer partner, who was Laura Gaines, I said, I think I'm going to have trouble going down this hill. We need to pray about this, because Operation Renewed Hope says you are responsible for your things. So we prayed, and I thought, God's just going to have to help me. And the morning we left, I went out early. I had my things on the veranda of our room, if you could call it that. And one of the nurses from ORH said to me, Sue, we have these empty suitcases they had brought supplies in, and we need to condense the luggage. Give me your suitcase and backpack. It needs to go in here. I was like, okay. So in it went, and I didn't have any luggage. God took care of it just like that. And I really specifically feel God took care of that. The Panamanians stationed themselves as we went down the hill so you could kind of grip their hand, and then you'd go about 20 feet, and there'd be another one you could grip their hand. And I was so thankful, because I did not want to land in the mud for the whole rest of the trip out of the jungle. So, and that's just one way God answered a prayer. Thank you for praying.
Jared Allen, who was one of our pharmacists.
Being in the pharmacy, you know, once patients start seeing the doctors, they're coming in, and it's just all day, every day. So as everybody's saying how they were able to interact with people, me and Dave, we probably didn't get much interaction. But I had great interaction with two of the Panamanian pharmacists who I worked with, Alberto and Eleazar. And even though we couldn't speak the same language, it was an awesome thing to do. But the testimony I really want to share is just how God showed me his great, amazing power through just a specific answer to prayer. The Saturday night before we were going to the jungle, I was praying. And as I was praying, God kind of brought James 4:2, the last part of it, to my mind. You have not because you ask not. I just felt that God was just asking for me to ask of him just something really great, something really big. And so I knew from the June clinic that ORH had, they had about 215, 216 salvations. And I thought, God, it'd be really amazing if we could have 400 people saved. And you could just imagine my excitement on Wednesday when Jeff gave us the final tallies, and it was exactly 400. It wasn't 399. He didn't round up. It was 400 exactly. And that was just showed me just the amazing power of prayer and the power that God has.
Christine Allen, who worked alongside me in crowd control and did great with her Spanish.
I attempted Spanish. Let's clarify that. I don't call it great at all. I don't know the exact passage, but there's a verse in the Bible saying, I be in the way, the Lord led me. I really feel that the Lord led each one of us on this trip, but specifically in the jungle of Panama, I was not prepared to handle 700 Panamanians and sitting them for them to see the doctor or the optometrist or the dentist. I mean, it was a huge task, including that there were a lot of kids, some of them like six kids with one set of parents, so it was nuts. I really was. But I prayed, you know, it's kind of like when Moses looked out on the children of Israel and said, God, what do I want to do with this great crowd of people? What am I to do? And the Lord led my way a man named Pisano, who was one of the captains of the Cayucos that took us down the river and took us back up. And I struggled in Spanish, but yet he saw the need of helping, sitting these people, making sure they go down and all that stuff. And he just stepped in. And the verse in the Bible in Ezekiel that says, I sought a man among them to build up the hedge and stand in the gap. And that was a man that stood in the gap, because he did things in 2 minutes that would take me 20 minutes to do. He also not just helped me organize, he helped me escort people to the pharmacy. He helped answer questions and find the translator to answer my questions and his questions. So we were able, even though we were from two different backgrounds, two different countries, two different languages, it really shows the bond of Christ transcends all differences, no matter what they are. And it was just amazing. And I can say, to sum it up, the most beautiful thing that I saw Pisano do that I could not do was sitting down with the people that are waiting and opening the Word of God and witnessing to them. One of which that I thought was beautiful was a school teacher who knew a little bit of English but was so inquisitive as to what the things of God were. And you saw Pisano open the Word of God and showing him, you know, the plan of salvation. And although he couldn't go through it all, but you hear people, you would see people listening in on the conversation that he was having with this man. And it was just the most beautiful thing. And that is another attest to, when you stand in the gap, there's amazing things. And, you know, I thought we'd be a blessing to those people. But you know what? What I was amazed at how much they were a blessing to us.
Dave Meckley, who is one of our pharmacists.
Very familiar verse is listed in Mark 16:15. Go you into all the world and preach my gospel to every creature. We've all heard that. As Laura mentioned, Brian Barber, over a year ago, had this burden to use a medical team to go reach people in all the world. He later shared that with Pastor Phelps, who also shared this desire to do the very same thing. Because of that, there are souls saved in Panama today. Now, unlike Laura, I really didn't have a burden to go on this trip. And it took Brian coming to me and say, hey, Dave, we need some pharmacists to go on this trip. And in my mind, I'm thinking, it's been many years since I've been a dispensing pharmacist, and now you want me to go to a third world country and do this. Joe's already quoted Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, through Christ who strengthens me. It's a convicting verse, and I'll tell you what, it's hard to say no when you start looking through Scripture. I'll tell you what, it's been an exciting experience working with this team, because this whole team believes that. You've heard these testimonies, you've heard the souls that have been saved. It's not individuals who have done that, it's because these individuals have depended on Christ. I'll tell you what, we appreciate your prayers, and it was an extremely exciting week. Thank you.
Dr. Mike Johnson, who was also on our medical team.
Psalm 116:1 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my prayer and my supplication. And my prayer was to be useful. Useful in the team, the operation. And as you've heard, we just saw God work in every dimension that you could think of. We could explain a way that God worked. I would like to share a couple of things, personal experiences, just to give you a little bit of a flavor. And everybody knows this too, but for example, I saw a family of four who rode their horse 2.5 hours to the clinic. They were on one horse, mom and dad and two children. I saw a man who came to us. He had his health card from the Department of Health with his blood pressures listed, and they were all 200 over 110, out of range. And there was a medication listed there that he could no longer get. He hadn't had medicine for 18 months. And I looked at our formulary that had been provided, and we had a fairly broad range of medication, but not every medication available, of course. And I found one. I said, you know, we can't duplicate what you're on, but we have something very similar. And he just looked, and he said, in Spanish, he said, what a blessing. And so we were able to dispense his medication and meet his need. I don't know if he how he responded in the service later, but those are the types of things that we were able to achieve, and it was the power of God that went before us, and it was just a tremendous experience. So, thank you.
Chet Gwynn, who took control of our central supply, and he was also the young man that relieved Barbara and the rest of us when we were getting hot and needed a break.
Yeah. Well, I admit I was a little confused through most of this because I thought when they asked for help, I thought they asked for a golfer. But it turned out it was that other word, gopher. Because that's what most of us did, but that's what I did most of the time. It was a joy. It was a pleasure just going back and forth and back and forth. Being with all these young people, since I was the elder, it was amazing the strength and the courage and everything that they had. So what I did is intentionally I would slow down every now and then so they could catch up. You know? My daughter has been on a number of trips, and before I left, she sent me a package, and she titled it the Panama Epistles, and each day there was a card in an envelope with some writings and some things for me. And the Monday morning that we got up to start the clinic, in the card was this card that said, "No ocean can hold it back. No river can overtake it. No whirlwind can go faster. No army can defeat it. No law can stop it. No distance can slow it. No disease can cripple it. No force on earth is more powerful or effective than the power of prayer." We were bathed in prayer. We could feel it. I mean, it was just amazing to get up. And we were to start the clinic at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they were lined up. And they stood there all day, and everything went the way God wanted it to go. We had bugs in our hair, which we washed out with a bucket of water. We did all kinds of things that we'd never done, probably would never do again. But we were all refreshed every morning because of God's prayer. And in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own." And that's what happened. And a personal thing that happened to me, I was going between buildings, and this was about mid-morning of the third day on Wednesday. And as I was going over the pathway, the steep hill we had come up, I saw this straw hat coming up, and it was coming up very slow. And as I stood there, and it was an elderly gentleman. He was about this tall, and he had a walking stick, and he was moving very slow. And as he came in through the little gate entrance there and came toward me, I spoke to him and welcomed him, and he looked at me and welcomed, and he took his little stick and pointed to the people in line, like it was at the clinic. And I said, "See?" And he just came over, grabbed my hand, cupped it in his hands, tears running down his cheeks, said, "Gracias, gracias, gracias." You'll never forget that.
Dr. Brian Barber, I want to tell a quick story before he speaks. One of the blessings for me was the last day of clinic, the afternoon gets just a little bit slower. The doctors are going nonstop. And so as things began to slow down, there was a little bit more time between patients. And so he had a young man, I'm going to guess he was maybe a teenager, early 20s. And he began to share the gospel with him, along with his translator, who was another missionary there that was translating. And it was so exciting to see, because he had already taken care of the physical side, and how the opportunity was there to be able to share the gospel, and then a few minutes later to see that young man bow his head and accept Christ and walk out with his heart and his body healed. And that was an amazing thing to see.
I'm just going to mostly read this, otherwise I won't make it through. The greatest lesson that I learned this trip is that God can do great things if you get out of His way. So many times I try to make it about me. This is about what I want, the way I think things should look like and who should go where. I often think if I just work hard enough, I can do something good for God. What I learned on this trip is that if I work hard enough, I can do something. But it won't be for God unless He does it through me. I was constantly challenged by the content of the character of the Christian people around me. I saw people throw up on a bus and a plane every time they went somewhere because they have severe motion sickness. I saw people that didn't go for showers for days in the heat. I saw people celebrate their anniversary in the middle of the jungle. And the only thing I ever heard from these people was, "It's a privilege to serve God." I never saw so many people do so much and complain so little. It was a constant conviction to me. I hope someday that will be said about me, because someone looked at my life and saw Jesus. I got a poem that Jerry Savinsky wrote. He told me to go ahead and read it. This is from him. Before he left for Greenville, we walked to the plane. And he turned and he shook my hand. He said, "Brian, the next time you do this, call me. I'm there, man." That meant a lot. Our mission treasure. We labored in the jungles of Panama to help the sick in a time of crisis. They traveled from 16 villages to receive from a medical team their help and kindness. With hearts full of gratitude, they were now open to the preaching of the gospel. Many were saved because God's people sacrificed to make all this possible. Only eternity reveal the results of our love and labor, all because they were willing to go and make known our Savior.
I'll wrap it up with just a couple of thoughts of my experience. We read in John that it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that was the verse that God had laid on my heart when Brian began to share this burden with me well over a year ago. And I thought I was just going to help him do a little planning, and then they were going to go. And then he decided to drag me along. Kind of kicking and screaming, but I'm glad I was there. And the thing that struck me as I think of that verse and I think of this trip was the concept, very simply, letting go, and how hard it is to just let go, and how much I like to hold on to my comfortable suburban life, to my pew, to the things that I know, things I can control. It's a theme in my family. We're not always flexible. We want things to be orderly. Right, Gabrielle? yet God began to teach me that I've got some miraculous things to show you. And why don't you just let me show up and do what I do, is what I was hearing from God. But first, you got to let go. And that's not easy to do in a place like this, in a community like this, in a country like we are blessed to have. And we shouldn't feel guilty, but it is a reminder of how blessed we are. I saw in the face of these folks a contentment that I could only dream of having myself. Yet I've got so many more things than they'll ever have materially. And I was amazed and convicted as we would see these folks walk for miles or ride their horse for miles. They would come and stand in line for hours. It was hot for them like it was for us, although they were slightly adjusted better. They would sit in long lines. We only had two dentists, and everyone had a tooth that needed pulled. We watched it all day long, and they never said a word. They never complained. And I thought about our country, how impatient we are. We deserve it now. We should not be inconvenienced. Where did we get that? I don't know where I got that, but I'm praying that God will take that away. And I pray that at the end of the day, He'll teach me a little bit about patience like the folks in the jungles of Panama had. And then the last thing, this man is an amazing person. Pastor went on this trip, not in a leadership role. He was not out front and center. He submitted himself to whatever there was to do. Crowd control was ultimately where he was at. But he quickly became the one who communicated with the children. And there was a gate in the center that they would come to after they would register. And he was the keeper of the gate. And he would greet them and send them up to me or Chad or whoever was up at the hill by triage. And it wasn't long after we got there that he had a crowd of kids around him. Of course, he couldn't say hardly a word to them. But he knows these really strange games with his hands, and he can make strange noises. And you know, the slapping game. Sorry, Pastor, you gave me the mic. And they just sat there, and they were enthralled, and they would continue to come. And it was just the neatest thing to watch that he didn't... He set an example for me of humility and how blessed we are to have a pastor who would join a team like this. And he wasn't the speaker. I think he did one, maybe two devotions while we were there. And I appreciate that so much. He taught them Frisbee because his wife packed him a Frisbee to be his plate. And that became something that they had never seen. And that's kind of interesting to think that they had never seen a Frisbee before and how much fun they had with that. And at the end, he ultimately gave that out to one of the boys. And so we're very blessed. You know, in the end, I realized that the God north of the equator is also the God that's south of the equator. And may we never forget that. Thank you.
Appreciate your patience this evening. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer and go. Thank you so much to the team members. You were assigned the impossible throughout the week, and then added on a further impossibility, summarizing such an amazing week in a minute or two or three. But what a blessing. And we've been challenged tonight to pray for the fruit that it will remain. And I would encourage each of you to pray, Lord, help me to be flexible. Our teens have challenged us, encouraged us that way this evening. Help me to be available. I'm going to have a spirit of humility. We've been praying for revival. The things that we heard this evening are foundational to real revival. We have to get out of the way so that God can have His way. Father, how we thank You for the blessings of the teen testimonies. How we thank You for lives transformed through the power of the Word. And Lord, we pray that You would do a work there in Panama, that these who have been touched physically and spiritually would rise up and be part of the nucleus and the foundation of a great church for the great Lord that we serve. Thank you for each team member. Lord, we don't know what we've carried back with us, but we know we carried in our hearts that tender place where we've seen you work. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow those who've labored hard in the heat to be refreshed, that tomorrow morning when they go off to work, they'll have a testimony to others. And Lord, may Colonial Hills Baptist Church and every member of this church be willing to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, for your love and for your grace. Dismiss us with your blessing, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you as you go.